The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here we go. Okay, so welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour. I've missed you all. I've missed you guys. And I've been not far. I've been steeped in the Dharma. Last week, I was teaching a residential retreat at Spirit Rock on befriending mortality, on mindfulness of death, which, as many of you know, is a topic that I love. Love and death. These are the two topics I love to teach about, and many other ones, but these two especially. So the topic I wanted to bring in for our reflection tonight in metta, in loving kindness, is perhaps inspired from the retreat, but is also inspired from some reflections I've had in my own life recently today. And that is, you know, with when we know our time is short, and with the practice of metta is one way to beautify our mind, a way to gladden our mind, for us to learn what it means to gladden our hearts, gladden our minds, both in daily life as a resource. And when we have challenges, when we have difficulty, when we have pain, when and of course a deathbed too, but really it's a support for our life, learning how to beautify and gladden our mind through metta and kindness for ourselves and others. And also the way that this other reflection of brevity, our time comes in is as you reflect, as we will do in the guided meditation together with mindfulness of the body and the breath, as we will settle in. But the practice of, you know, life is short. What's happening right now in my mind stream? What's happening? Am I stressed? Am I worrying? Am I having ill will feelings? Like, if this was my last moment in life, so it was my last breath, is this what I want to be spending my time doing? Worrying or planning ad nauseum and you know, how do I want to be spending this precious time? If this were my last moment, how would whatever is happening right now, is this how I want to be spending it? Is this what I want to be cultivating? And of course, metta, thoughts of kindness for ourselves, for others, love, forgiveness, vicarious joy, all the Brahma-viharas, equanimity, are all these beautiful states that both beautify the mind and heart, both for any moment, whether it's the last moment of our lives, last breath, or also as we create our own karma, as we weave the future moments, as we precondition the future moments. So if in this moment we have a kind thought, a generous thought, a thought of forgiveness, etc., all the beautiful heart qualities, we precondition ourselves to have more of those feelings and thoughts towards ourselves and others in the future moments. Whatever thoughts you have now precondition you to have more of those in the minutes, hours, days, years to come. So lots of ways to relate to this, to the beauty, to the value of practicing the Brahma-viharas, metta, loving kindness, compassion, karuna, mudita, vicarious joy, and upekkha, equanimity. So I think that's all I want to say to set up the stage for our practice tonight, and let's just practice together. No. Let's no more words. Well, there'll still be guided meditation boards, but no more dharmet. Let's practice together. So I would like to invite you to settle in your posture for practice. Ah, sitting relaxedly, sitting upright, allowing your back to be straight, as if it's pulled up by an invisible string. Sense of integrity, sitting up like a mountain. Letting your feet be stable on the earth, touching the earth. Feeling your sitting bones, what you sit on, connected to the earth via the chair or the cushion. And releasing the weight of your upper body, releasing onto your sitting bones. Taking a few minutes, just feel the bottom of your feet on the earth, the bottom of your sit bones, connected. Where does the earth beneath my feet begin? And my toes end. Feeling the weight. You might have seen helium balloons that are flighty and light, go up in the sky. And often there's a weight attached to the helium balloon to bring stability to it. Let your body be that weight, that counterweight that stabilizes the helium balloons of thought. Distraction, your body, this wonderful counterweight. Let yourself enjoy the breath. Enjoy the breath moving through this body. When the mind enjoys what it's doing, when the heart enjoys the practice, it relaxes like a baby who's well cared for, well fed. Let each breath be nourishing, filling your body with sensations. And if you find the helium balloons keep drifting, it's okay, no problem. Maybe you can untie some of them and let them float free. It's okay, it's all right. Release them. Back to the body, to the breath. Ah, so calming, soothing, enjoyable. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just enjoy, appreciate being here, being breathed. Spend another couple of minutes just settling, releasing the body, any tension in the body, forehead, jaw, neck, shoulders, hands, chest, abdomen, sit bones, legs, feet, releasing with each out breath. We become grounded, present before we turn to metta. Couple more minutes. Let go, letting go of the balloons. feeling. Stability, especially as you release. Tightness, holding, grasping. Taking refuge in yourself. And the infinity of this moment. And the Buddha nature of this being who is me. And the Sangha community. Here. And now, let's turn our hearts, our minds, our attention. First, gladdening our heart mind, our citta in Pali, translated as heart mind. Gladdening via reflecting our own goodness on our own goodness. If you were seeing yourself externally, from the outside, this person who is you. Maybe reflecting on something kind or generous you've done recently or some time ago, doesn't matter. Maybe an act of forgiveness or generosity, however small, doesn't matter. Or maybe you said some kind words to someone or to yourself. Maybe you did something nice for someone, helped them out. Or maybe you were kind to yourself. You didn't give yourself a hard time about something. Very gentle, forgiving. Reflecting on the goodness of any of these. As if it were your best friend you're appreciating. Let it in. Let your own goodness in. And appreciating also now your intentions for cultivating kindness, compassion, wisdom, generosity, all any values. That are important to you. Any beautiful values. Friendship, support, etc., etc. Integrity, virtue. Let yourself see this, recognize this goodness. From this place of goodness, let your heart, your mind, your heart mind be uplifted. Aspiration, aspiration for goodness uplifts the mind, uplifts the heart. And from this place of recognizing goodness, wishing yourself well. May this goodness within me increase. May the aspiration for goodness, may it increase, may it never wane. I wish myself more goodness. I wish myself well. And similarly, bring to mind someone who's dear to you, maybe a good friend. A benefactor, anyone from whom you've received kindness. You appreciate them, their goodness, and appreciate their goodness, their inner beauty, their kindness, their wisdom. Let yourself feel uplifted that such goodness exists in the world. Such kindness, such friendship, such care, such uprightness, virtue, whatever it is. Appreciating this being, this person, their goodness. Whether present or past, doesn't matter. There has been this goodness in your life, when this being exists or has existed. Let your heart be uplifted. Uplifting the heart. And from this place of goodness, appreciating goodness, wishing this person well. Or letting feelings of gratitude arise for them. Uplifting your heart, your mind. This is heaven. This is heaven. This is the Brahma Viharas, heaven on earth. And now maybe you get to see your own goodness through this person's eyes. How do they see you? How do they see your goodness, your values, your inner beauty? Let yourself see your goodness through their eyes. Don't shy away. Who are you to get in your own way? However they see you, appreciate you, respect you, love you, let yourself be seen. As if reflecting through these mirrors, them seeing you, you seeing them seeing you. Let yourself appreciate your own goodness through their eyes, what they see in you. Let your light shine. Let it shine. By letting our light shine, the goodness in us, not belittling it, but by seeing it, appreciating it, it's not an act of ego, but seeing goodness helps goodness increase. Brightening the heart and mind. Feeding the goodness, the brightness. And from that perspective, wishing yourself well. May this being who is me, may they be well. And including the person, this dear being whom you're including, wishing them well too. May both of us, may we let our light shine onto the world, our goodness. May we support each other in more goodness in the world, if possible. And if you, as if you were witnessing, observing lots of points of light, lots of points of light on this planet Earth, lots of points of light. As if you're an astronaut from the space, all these points of light, all these beings, all these human beings with their values, with their intentions. so many beautiful intentions. Let your mind see the good. Let your mind open up to the wholeheartedness, to the good. So many beings who care for each other on this planet. They care for loved ones, family, pets. So many acts of care. So many acts of care across the globe. And if your mind goes towards, but there are challenges and cruelty. Yes, I know, we know. But in this practice right now, we're turning towards the good to uplift the heart and mind. The other practice can be a practice of compassion another time. Right now, seeing the good in yourself. In the world. Many other beings, so many blessings, so much goodness, so much giving and receiving. So much generosity. And from this place, wishing all beings well. May all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere be well. May they wake up just as I wish to wake up. May all beings wake up to their own goodness. May all beings, including myself, appreciate how brief our life really is on this planet. How little time we have to act in goodness. Make a change, even if it's just a small change for one person. May we all wake up to the preciousness. And the goodness in all of us. You all. Before I open the space for reflections, I wanted to share a little story that my co-teacher Beth shared on the retreat we were just teaching, and I paraphrase it. It's a Zen story, and it goes something like this: that in Zen stories, there are two archetypes. There's the warrior archetype and a monk archetype. So in this story, there is a samurai, a warrior that is very full of themselves and goes to a monk and says, you know, something like, tell me everything you know about awakening. Tell me everything you know about awakening. And the monk says, well, to you, something like that. I might be paraphrasing, but the punchline would be the same. So bear with me. So the monk says, what, to you? So it doesn't really show the samurai the respect that he feels he deserves. So and the samurai gets really, oh yeah, I think the question was, Tell me everything you know about awakening and heaven and hell. Maybe something, maybe that was the question. Anyway, I have to look up but anyway, the punchline will stay the same. So the samurai will get really, really angry and he pulls up his sword and is about to cut the head of the monk off. And the monk, still with a lot of equanimity, stands and says, "Ah, that's hell." And delighted at this insight. Oh yeah, this is a state of hell. I'm angry, and wow, how quickly that happened. And I don't want to be angry. So a sense of a smile shows up on the face of the samurai, having gotten the wisdom, the deep wisdom. Oh yeah, that's what hell is. And so he smiles, and the monk goes, "That's heaven." So such a simple description of heaven and hell in this realm, in this body, and the Brahmaviharas, the gladdening of the heart, are heavenly states. And when we are angry and upset or blaming or self-recriminating or so many difficult states of mind, that's hell. That's hell. So it's helpful to just call it that sometimes. If you find yourself in this hellish states of mind, like, oh, sweetheart, this is hell. This is hell. Do you really want to be in hell? Do you want to be perpetuating states of hell? Drop it. Just drop it and turn. You have a choice. Turn the mind towards wholesome states of mind, towards heavenly states of mind, forgiveness, kindness. So I'm sure there are many questions that can arise, but I'll just leave it at that and open now for reflections. What came up for you in the meditation question, you can either type them in chat or you can raise your Zoom hand, because if you raise your physical hand, I will not see you. There are many of us. But if you raise your Zoom hand, then I can see you. Questions, comments, complaints, it's all welcomed. Okay, so any reflections from the guided meditation? Stephanie says, great meditation. Thank you, Stephanie. Oh, and I see Catherine raising their hand. Catherine. Hi.
Hi, great to see you again.
Thank you, you too.
I was just on a retreat, and the practice was so much about being with whatever arose without judgment. And so I wonder about like the third punchline of that story, because he asked three, in the way you told it, he asked three things. So then what is awakening?
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell it well, very well. I think he might have just asked about heaven and hell, or maybe he just asked about awakening. There was no third punchline.
I fielded it myself. Being like, that, and I don't know if you would agree, but that awakening is holding heaven and hell as maybe all one, or being in equanimity, whatever is arising, and how that's not contradictory to cultivating wholesome states of mind somehow.
Yes. And I think that is beautiful. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and I think awakening holds that, includes that, but it's more than that. It's not just that. It's not. So I wouldn't equate awakening with equanimity. I think equanimity is something that arises, is something arises from awakening, and also equanimity leads to states of awakening, but they're not equivalent. So I wouldn't say that equanimity is awakening. Yeah, but yeah, they're definitely related. But I think the point you're really trying to make is not So yes, there is, and I think it's an important one, and I expected someone to bring it up, and I'm glad you have, Catherine. It's, which is the sense that yes, these unwholesome states arise, and by shaming ourselves and pushing them away, it doesn't really help. And yet, in our practice, we do try to cultivate wholesome states, and yet unwholesome states are going to arise. So how do we work with them skillfully? And one way to work with them skillfully is through equanimity, and there are many other skillful ways to work with them. But I think the point you're trying to bring in as from the retreat that you just sat is not to shame ourselves because of the negative states of mind. And absolutely, that's an important point. Yeah. But to work with them skillfully, with wisdom, with mindfulness, with vipassana, and also with compassion. So I think that point stands. Yeah. I see two more hands. I see Jesse, please.
Yeah, thanks for this practice today. Yeah, I wanted to ask about, like, normally this works pretty well for me, this practice, but what was coming up really strongly for me today, right? I wanted to ask about pre-practice attachments. This experience came up for me where it's kind of cute. I think when I was 4 years old, I had a balloon tied to my wrist and it flew away and I lost the balloon and I was really sad. And, you know, so at the time I was like, oh, I'm 4 years old and I really wanted this balloon. It was really important to me. But that was coming up now today in this present moment experience. And it didn't feel appropriate to be talking about dukkha and letting go to this 4 year old child. So I was just wondering, you know, about when memories come up, you know, from childhood, you know, predate, you know, my Buddhist practice, like how to practice compassion in those moments.
Yeah. Great. I appreciate that. And maybe it came up because in the invitations I was sharing, you know, the image of, you know, let the balloons fly away. And maybe that helped bring in this memory that you had many years ago and the sense of grief and then the letting go came up. I think there are multiple things you're asking, and just to be brief, I think one is when there is a 4 year old. Well, there's a 4 year old that you couldn't talk to or couldn't be talked to about letting go, and yes, things come and things go. But now that 4 year old within you, you can talk to them. There is an older and wiser Jesse who understands things arise and pass away. So that's part of reparenting ourselves with kindness, with compassion. So it's actually quite a gift that this came up, because there's something in there that can be a younger version of you, and that those deep memories to relearn yourself with kindness, with care, the truth of impermanence.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. Fred, please.
Thank you. Welcome back, Nikki. It's great to have you back.
Thank you.
As I was picturing the people who I envision being purveyors of kindness and other good things, I feel them very richly and with a lot of detail and a real felt sensibility. There's nothing theoretical about it. When I return to myself, it's not as though I'm not skeptical of those virtues in myself, but I don't experience it with the same richness as I do looking at someone else. And when I tried using the eyes of the other person to see me, like, that didn't quite pull it together for me either. And I wonder if you have a comment.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I wonder, when you tried the eyes of the other person instead of just your own eyes directly, whether that was any more effective, even if a tiny bit more effective in seeing your own good. Tiny bit.
Yeah.
Good. Tiny bit is better than zero. Yeah, that tends to help, actually. That tends to. So I would say, Fred, hang in there with that, with seeing yourself through the eyes of another, but really, really taking their perspective, like letting go of your own perspective completely and seeing really doing perspective taking, and it can take a little while, and this was a relatively short meditation, but really taking a while to do that perspective taking from their perspective, something kind that you don't, and then really feeling into it. Yes, they really see me as kind or generous or thoughtful. And that thing I did for them, well, yeah, that really made a difference to them. So really lean into the perspective taking, and can take a little while, but don't make it just black and white, because I think we just did the graphite little black and white drawing, but really pull out the watercolors and make it as vivid as you possibly can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks so much. There was one last. Oh, we should go into practice into groups if it's too late. But one person has asked about how people confuse kindness for weakness, which not true, because kindness really includes ourselves as 360 degrees. So it's that often comes out with a sense of confusing kindness with weakness, and maybe I'll talk more about it next time. But it's you know, kindness is 360 degrees and includes yourself. And when you are kind to yourself, you're not letting people take advantage of you. So we need to turn to small groups right now. Otherwise, we'll have no time for the breakout groups, folks. So thank you for reflections. Thank you for everyone who's spoken. So I'm going to make the groups. And here is the invitation. The invitation is that we will speak about, you know, something about goodness, some other person's goodness, having seen their goodness. What does it feel like when you see someone else's goodness? How does that light up your heart when you reflect on and really appreciate someone else's goodness? And I think through that we can, I think that's what, let's just say that's prompt. And actually, I realize the practice, the small groups are going to be pretty short tonight. So it might be just a quick round, going around. And again, just speak from your own experience. And the next person, then the next person will go alphabetically, not directing, not asking questions. It'll just be a 30-second monologue, you know, reflecting on someone else's goodness. What came up for you in this practice? So I'm going to open all the rooms. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Here we go. Okay, the rooms are all closed. Everybody's back, and it's 7:00. We had lots of reflections, and so I think respecting the time, let's close. Let's close now. Thank you all for your practice, for joining to gladden your minds and hearts in service of both yourself and all beings. It's when our minds are uplifted and filled with goodness, when we see our own goodness, we can be better force for good in the world, better and serve better. Anyway, may all beings be well. May all beings be happy. Dedicating the blessings, the merit. Thanks, everyone. Take good care. Be well. And I'm going to stop.